Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we are looking at some massive investments in healthcare AI, specifically a $1 billion milestone from Michael and Susan Dell that is going to fundamentally change the medical landscape in Texas.
We've also got the launch of ChatGPT Images 2.0. OpenAI is claiming this update is as big a jump as going from GPT-3 to GPT-5, introducing a new reasoning mode that completely changes how we generate visual content.
And if you work at Meta, you might want to watch where you click. The company is rolling out a highly controversial new tool to track employee mouse movements and keystrokes, all in the name of training their next generation of AI agents.
A lot of heavy hitters today, balancing incredible technological leaps with some very real privacy concerns. Let's dive right into the deep dives.
So Michael and Susan Dell just hit a huge philanthropic milestone. They have officially pledged $750 million to the University of Austin. When you combine that with their previous giving, it brings their total lifetime donations to the university to over $1 billion.
That makes them the first billion-dollar donors in the school's history. And this latest chunk of funding is earmarked for something incredibly ambitious. It is going toward a new UT Dell campus for advanced research and the UT Dell Medical Center. This is going to be a massive 300-acre project located in Northwest Austin.
The detail that really caught my eye here is that they are explicitly calling this new medical center AI native. The plan is to build a hospital that integrates artificial intelligence into care delivery and operations from the absolute ground up. We hear about hospitals adopting AI tools all the time, but designing one around AI from day one feels like a completely different scale of commitment.
Right. The stated goals are improving disease detection and personalizing care. Construction is supposed to start later in 2026, and they are projecting the hospital will open in 2030 with between 300 and 500 beds. It is also going to fully integrate UTMD Anderson Cancer Center services, which brings world-class specialized cancer care directly into Austin.
I really want to dig into that AI-native label. When you retrofit an existing hospital with AI, you're usually buying a software package that reads radiology scans or helps with administrative scheduling. The underlying bureaucracy and workflow are still legacy human-first systems. Being AI native implies the actual physical and digital infrastructure. The data pipelines, the way a patient moves from triage to discharge, is designed with a machine learning model constantly in the loop.
Which sounds incredibly efficient on paper, but it raises some massive questions about privacy and ethics. When you have a facility generating that much structured data, specifically designed to feed into predictive models, who is auditing the algorithms? If an AI is managing operations and patient flow, does it start optimizing for cost or bed turnover at the expense of edge case patient care?
Exactly. And given the sheer scale of this investment and the fact that it's backed by one of the biggest names in the tech industry, the spotlight is going to be intense. This is part of a broader 10-year, $10 billion fundraising campaign by the university. They certainly have the capital to build whatever they want. But healthcare isn't just a big data problem. It is a deeply human, highly regulated space.
Critics are likely going to argue that embedding AI this deeply into clinical workflows could lead to algorithmic bias, especially if the training data isn't perfectly representative of the diverse Austin population. On the flip side, proponents will say this is the only way to genuinely modernize regional healthcare. You can't just slap an AI chatbot on a hospital operating system from the 1990s and expect patient outcomes to magically improve.
The integration with MD Anderson is huge, too. That is a world-renowned cancer center. If they can figure out how to use AI to accelerate specialized cancer treatments, the template they build in Austin could be exported to medical centers globally. But the execution between now and that 2030 opening date is going to be a massive logistical and regulatory hurdle.
Moving on to our next story. On April 21st, 2026, OpenAI dropped a massive update, ChatGPT Images 2.0. This is powered by a brand new model they are calling GPT Image 2.
And they are not being shy about the hype at all. CEO Sam Altman actually came out and said, quote, Images 2.0 is a huge step forward. This is like going from GPT-3 to GPT-5 all at once. That is a wild comparison to make, considering how paradigm-shifting the leap to GPT-4 was, let alone a hypothetical GPT-5.
The biggest structural change is that there are now two distinct modes. You have instant mode, which is your standard fast image generation. But the real game changer is the new thinking mode. It is designed for complex, multi-step visual tasks. We are talking research-informed infographics, full presentation slides, intricate maps, and apparently even multi-page manga that reads coherently.
The technical specs really back up the hype. They have finally cracked near-perfect text rendering. We've all seen the classic AI image weirdness where a street sign in the background has a bunch of garbled alien letters. They say that is entirely fixed, and it even supports non-Latin scripts flawlessly. The outputs are generated in 2K resolution, and you have total flexibility over aspect ratios.
But let's talk about that thinking mode, because it fundamentally shifts what this tool is. By integrating the reasoning capabilities from their O-series models, ChatGPT isn't just painting a picture based on a prompt. It is actively researching, planning, and structuring visual outputs. If you ask it for an infographic about the history of the internet, it is pulling the facts, deciding on the layout, drafting the text, and then rendering the final professional product.
It changes the user's role entirely. You are no longer just a prompter trying to guess the magic words to get the right lighting or composition. You are effectively acting as an art director or a design director. You give the high-level creative brief, and the AI handles the granular execution. Of course, OpenAI knows exactly how valuable this is, which is why the thinking mode features are restricted to their paid tiers, Plus, Pro, and Business.
This feels like a direct shot at Google Gemini, which has historically been really strong at multimodal tasks, connecting text, images, and live web context. OpenAI is trying to turn ChatGPT from a conversational assistant into a full professional visual workspace.
I do wonder about the impact on traditional design software. If I can get a perfectly formatted, historically accurate infographic in 2 minutes, what happens to the market for entry-level graphic design work? And on a darker note, perfectly rendered text and high-resolution complex layouts make this a dream tool for generating misinformation. If an AI can create a flawless, highly convincing map or data visualization that is completely fabricated, the potential for deceptive political influence campaigns goes through the roof.
Absolutely. The barrier to creating professional-looking propaganda just dropped to zero. OpenAI is going to have to lean heavily on their safety mitigations. But purely from a technological standpoint, getting an AI to reason about visual space and layout before it even starts drawing is a massive leap forward for the industry.
Our last deep dive today is a story that is already causing a lot of friction internally at Meta. According to Reuters, Meta is deploying a new tool called the Model Capability Initiative, or MCI, on the computers of its US-based employees.
And what MCI does is it captures granular user data. We are talking mouse movements, clicks, keystrokes, and occasional screen snapshots. The stated goal here is to train AI agents to perform work tasks autonomously. They want their models to learn exactly how humans navigate drop-down menus, use keyboard shortcuts, and interact with complex software interfaces.
Meta spokesperson Andy Stone was quick to clarify that this data will not be used for performance assessments, and that they have safeguards in place to protect sensitive content. This whole project was previously known internally as AI for Work, but it has recently been rebranded to the Agent Transformation Accelerator, or ATA.
The context here is that AI models are great at generating text or code, but they are still pretty terrible at actually using a computer. If you want an AI agent to truly act as an autonomous worker, it needs to understand the nuance of navigating a graphical user interface. Gathering this real-world data from their own employees is Meta's strategy to bridge that capability gap.
But you can imagine the internal backlash. You are essentially asking your employees to provide the exact training data needed to build systems that could eventually automate their own jobs. It completely changes the psychological contract between the employer and the worker. It is one thing to train an AI on public web data. It's another to train it on your employees' daily workflows.
And even with Andy Stone promising that this won't be used for performance reviews, does that actually hold up in a corporate environment? Once that level of surveillance infrastructure is installed and that data exists on a server somewhere, it creates a culture of surveillance. Employees are going to be hyper-aware that every single click, hesitation, and typo is being logged. Critics argue that no matter what safeguards are in place, capturing screen snapshots and keystrokes is a massive privacy invasion. What if an employee is checking a personal bank account or dealing with a sensitive medical issue on their lunch break? Meta claims they have filters to strip out personal information, but these systems are rarely foolproof. It is the ultimate corporate paradox. Meta desperately needs this data to win the AI agent race. They have a captive workforce of highly skilled computer users. From a purely technical perspective, it makes perfect sense to mine that data to teach an AI how to use Excel or internal dashboards. But from a human resources perspective, it is a nightmare. It breeds paranoia and resentment.
I will be very curious to see if this leads to any high-profile departures, or if employees find ways to game the system. If you know the AI is watching how you use a drop-down menu, do you purposefully use it inefficiently to poison the training data? It is a fascinating, if slightly dystopian, look at the cutting edge of AI training data collection.
All right, those are the deep dives for today, but we have a few more quick hits we want to get through before we wrap up.
Let's transition into the roundup and hit some of the other stories making waves across the tech landscape.
First up, an interesting piece from Search Engine Land about the hidden bland tax that could erase your brand from AI search. Andrew Warden, the CMO of Semrush, coined the term. The core idea is that with about 60% of Google searches now ending without a single click to a website, users are just reading the AI-synthesized answers. If your brand doesn't have a distinct, authoritative presence, the AI just filters you out entirely. Exactly. It forces companies to move beyond traditional SEO toward defensive SEO. You have to actively monitor and shape how models like ChatGPT, Perplexity, and Google AI Overviews understand and describe your brand to ensure you remain relevant. Next up in hardware news, Framework has announced the Framework Laptop 13 Pro. It features a complete ground-up chassis redesign, a larger 74-watt-hour battery, a haptic touchpad, and runs on the new Intel Core Ultra Series 3 processors. The standout feature is the fully custom touchscreen display, which is a first for their 13-inch line. It's 2880 by 1920 resolution with a 30 to 120 Hz variable refresh rate. Pricing starts at $1,199 for the DIY edition and $1,499 for pre-built models, shipping in June 2026.
They are also claiming over 20 hours of battery life during 4K Netflix streaming. And staying true to their modular philosophy, existing Laptop 13 owners can purchase upgrade kits to retrofit their current devices with the new mainboard, display, and battery.
Over in academia, Arizona State University professors are proposing a new undergraduate degree program that combines artificial intelligence with philosophy, according to the state press. It is a joint initiative led by faculty within the School of Humanities, Arts, and Cultural Studies and the School of Computing. The curriculum is designed to tackle the ethical implications of AI development, focusing on topics like algorithmic bias, machine consciousness, and the societal impact of automation.
As AI systems become increasingly integrated into critical infrastructure, there is a growing demand for professionals who understand both the technical mechanics of these tools and the ethical frameworks required to govern them. It is a necessary shift toward interdisciplinary education.
Finally, a website called lawsofsoftwareengineering.com has been sparking a lot of debate. It aggregates classic empirical observations, like Brooks's Law, which states adding manpower to a late software project makes it later, and Gall's Law about complexity growth.
It caught some criticism on Hacker News for being a bit vibe-coded and acting like a collection of common knowledge rather than a rigorous academic resource.
But honestly, these heuristics exist for a reason. They serve as vital mental models for developers and managers navigating the chaos of project timelines and team dynamics. Even with modern AI-assisted coding, human organizational problems haven't gone anywhere.
And that is going to do it for today's episode. Thanks to everyone for tuning in and navigating these wild tech updates with us.
We appreciate you listening. We will be back next time with more deep dives and the latest news across the industry.
Until then, stay curious and keep building. Catch you later.